truth. What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome to our show today. It is Friday, December 3rd, 2021, end of the week. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's been a rough week, and that seems to be a growing trend. Each week is worse than the one before. Anyway, we have a lot of news to get through. It's been a very busy news day. And we're going to try and get as much of that news in as we can before it's time to open up the phones for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and taking care of business. So let's get right on into it. All right, there is a story coming out of Station Gossip. And it's sort of underscoring the fact that Joe Biden's mental decline seems to be accelerating. And yesterday, President Biden delivered remarks at the National Institutes of Health regarding his administration's efforts to deal with the Omicron variant of COVID-19, which is reportedly a very mild strain of the disease. In fact, they're saying it's less serious than the Delta variant here. And whereas we are used to the fact that Biden will make an occasional gaffe here and there, this speech had so many mistakes in it that everybody was shaking their heads and wondering what's going on. And it was all over Twitter saying, you know, there something is definitely not working there. Now, Biden had a medical exam recently that did not include a cognitive test. And, you know, clearly the White House would not want you to know that Biden was not firing on all cylinders. And for anybody who says, oh, they could never do that, again, I would remind you that most Americans were unaware that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. They worked very hard to hide that. When FDR would have a press conference in the Oval Office, they would basically put him in the chair behind the Resolute desk, and only then would the reporters be allowed in to ask him questions. So even they were not picking up on the fact that FDR lacked mobility there. Now, didn't it impact his intellect till towards the very end? But again, it does show that the frailties of presidents are very often hidden from the public, or at least diminished and marginalized, as was the case with John F. Kennedy's back issue. And Biden is not the only one that Americans are starting to worry about when it comes to how things are working in the brain here. Also yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi took to the podium for her weekly news conference and apparently locked up for about 54 seconds at one point and was otherwise seemed to be rather incoherent. And according to the C-SPAN archive of the conference, Pelosi was asked about a bill backed by Senators Marco Rubio and Chris Murphy about punishing China for the manifold human rights abuses. And she just kind of wandered around and not really making a lot of sense. And, you know, a lot of these people in high government positions are actually far older than the usual mandatory retirement age. And they always seem to get exceptions. And sometimes it really shows here. Meanwhile, President Biden seemed to get confused in a memory he had about meeting with Golda Meir during the Six-Day War. Now, back when that happened, this was 1967, he was still a law student, and she was not the Israeli prime minister. Biden appeared to be confusing the Six-Day War with the 1973 Yom Kippur War. And Biden was already a senator at that point, and Golda Meir was the leader of Israel. So he sort of misremembered that one. Meanwhile, the third person in 3 weeks has now quit Biden's cabinet. Simone Sanders, Ashley Etienne, Emma Riley, and a lot of people are saying Jen Psaki may be reaching the breaking point as well because she's constantly having to cover for Biden, and that is a very tiring job. I don't appreciate being lied to by Jen Psaki, but I do admire her dedication to duty, and whatever they're paying her, it is not enough. Over at Kamala Harris' office, a lot of people are leaving that as well, and the word is they're burned out, and they want to basically distance themselves so they're not seen as a Harris person going forward in politics. And basically, four aides have announced their departure in just 2 weeks. Now, down in Florida, Ron DeSantis has announced he is forming a Florida State Guard, not a National Guard, which is ever since the Rodney King riots, the National Guard has been under federal control, or can be under federal control. Ron DeSantis wants to form a Florida State Guard, which would have absolutely no responsibility to the federal government. And I think that's a really worrying sign. I think it's a good idea, but if more and more states start forming their own state guard, that may indicate that we are coming up on a possible civil war. Anyway, getting on over to the Mississippi abortion law case, the justices are still discussing it. They're expected to vote on it sometime next week. Now, normally, Justice Roberts is kind of a moderate here, but he basically came on out making this comment regarding so-called viability, saying that it's not an absolute, it's going to vary from individual to individual. And he said, when you get to the viability standard, we share that standard with the People's Republic of China and North Korea. And so he scored some points with that one. Meanwhile, Sonia Sotomayor really kind of broke the decorum of the court to basically chastise verbally her fellow justices. And she basically attacked verbally the lawyer for Mississippi, and basically seemed to be sending a message that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, they will face consequences for it. So it's a hot button issue here. But the indications are the conservative court will uphold the Mississippi law, which would overturn Roe versus Wade. That will have national repercussions. And they're already starting to plan. Democrats are already starting to think, what are they going to do if Roe versus Wade is overturned? Because it's one of those banners they like to wave at the voters. Yes, we, you know, we got abortion out there. And they're already thinking about next year's midterms. And they're starting to deal with the reality that the average American voter is much less interested in democratic social reform and much more interested in getting the economy running properly again. Nothing new about that. Voters tend to vote with their wallets. And right now, the economy is definitely working against Joe Biden and the Democratic Congress, not to mention all those democratically controlled cities that are in such trouble right now. Getting on over to the Ghislaine Maxwell case, a lot of revelations are coming on out, one of which is that Jeffrey Epstein visited the Clinton White House at least 17 times. 12 of them were in 1994, and on three separate occasions, there were two visits in the same day. So something was definitely going on over there. Now, Jeff Epstein's housekeeper was put on the stand and painted a very lurid picture of Epstein and Maxwell's sex life involving these underage girls. And I'm not going to go into details here, but it definitely indicated that a lot more was going on than these simple massages here. All right, getting on over to Waukesha. The other day we reported that the court records regarding how the parade killer was bailed out the previous Friday, had disappeared. But the problem has not gone away, and fingers are starting to be pointed. The woke Milwaukee district attorney is trying to blame his junior prosecutor and a computer error for the blunder that saw the parade killer freed on just $1,000 bond. He then went on to kill six people with his car. A little bit of good news. Facebook has now unbanned Kyle Rittenhouse. Facebook had banned all searches for Rittenhouse information, Rittenhouse products, what have you. They have now reversed that. And interestingly enough, the executive at Facebook, who called Rittenhouse a mass murderer, is now going to be leaving the company. So a bit of a shakeup over there. Meanwhile, Kyle Rittenhouse is starting to do interviews regarding what happened and has basically said what he's going to do with that AR-15 that was involved in that shooting. And he says it's going to be destroyed. Doesn't want it around, doesn't want to be associated with it, doesn't want it to wind up in somebody else's hands. And so I can understand his reaction, but he has to realize how much that particular AR-15 would be worth to a gun collector. Now, over in Michigan at the Oxford Community Schools, Superintendent Tim Throne basically described Oxford High School as a war zone 2 days after Ethan Crumbly fired at least 30 rounds into the hallways. And the superintendent says the suspect was called to the office, but no discipline was warranted. The story is kind of fluctuating around. Apparently, the school had strongly suggested to Ethan's parents that he be put in counseling to deal with some of his issues. And police raided the home. They confiscated a whole bunch of guns. They found a lot of material, a journal in the shooter's home. And basically, the prosecutor is saying this rampage that Ethan went on was premeditated and planned. It was not a spontaneous spur of the moment situation. I have a question which has yet to be answered yet, and that is that this Ethan, given that he was basically dealing with some psychological issues, was he on prescription antidepressants? Because those have a very bad history of basically sending certain people onto rampages. Colorado shooters were on those medications. A lot of them were. If you go to my main page, over in the right menu bar, you scroll on down, there's a giant pill capsule. And if you click it, it will take you to a page that basically talks about how, for many people, these antidepressants will trigger violent rages. They'll actually make people more depressed. In fact, it's gotten so bad that the package warnings for many of these medications say that, you know, young people being given these medications have been known to become suicidal. Meanwhile, the parents of Ethan Crumbly, James and Jennifer, are being charged as unintentional homicide. They're justifiably blaming the parents for not really dealing with their son's obvious mental issues, for not securing the weapons in their home, knowing that their son had a problem. Now, the morning of the shooting, Ethan's father, James, did notice that the gun was missing. He kept it unlocked in his night table drawer, which is where you want to keep it if you're using it for home defense. But he called the police and said the weapon is missing, and he told them his son might have taken it. So they were trying to do the right thing. But in the end, the prosecutor came on out, and there are now four counts of involuntary manslaughter for each of the two parents. And I know the parents have to bear some of the responsibility for what happened. I think four counts of involuntary manslaughter may be a little harsh, but then the prosecutor said that she's trying to send a message that if you own guns, you know, you have a right to keep and bear weapons, but with that right comes responsibility. I wholeheartedly agree with that, and that she wants to send a message that if you are careless and reckless with the guns that you own, that you will wind up in serious legal trouble. I agree with that as well. So we'll see where that's going to go on. Over at the Jussie Smollett case, they're getting really kind of desperate over there. One of the attorneys defending Jussie Smollett yesterday claimed that the judge in the case lunged at her in court. This was reported in the New York Post. Smollett's attorneys have asked the judge to declare a mistrial, which the judge denied. They know they're going to lose, you know, especially with that video of the rehearsal. And yeah, they know they're going to lose here. Meanwhile, on Wednesday in North Las Vegas, police arrested a 33-year-old woman who allegedly threatened to take her gun and, quote, shoot some white people. And the police were tipped off by a caller, and they went to the 2500 block of Bullock Street, and they saw an apartment window with what appeared to be a rifle with an attached scope protruding. And they secured the area, and they arrested Candace Shante Williams. And it turned out the rifle that had been poked out of the window was actually an airsoft rifle and scope. And that's a pellet gun. It's not really a real firearm here, but they look very realistic and can cause a lot of confusion when the police are out there. Anyway, Williams was arrested, and she's being held on five counts of assault with a deadly weapon. So, all righty now. Over on the January 6th commission, looking back at the January 6th protest, it turned out that the Department of Justice arrested members of Oath Keepers for conspiring to commit crimes on January 6th, yet they were in possession of exculpatory evidence that proved it really wasn't true. That there was no conspiracy. They did not have an intention to commit a crime or crimes. They were simply joining the protest. But the government is trying to send a message to all Americans. Don't you dare protest against us. We will do bad things to you if you dare question any of our decisions or choices here. And over at the January 6th committee, Chairman Benny Thompson is out there saying that anybody who takes their Fifth Amendment right, you know, we're just going to assume they're guilty. And that's not what the Fifth Amendment is supposed to do. Another little interesting story. It has now been absolutely proven that at least one of the Proud Boys who was at the Capitol on January 6th was an FBI informant. The story came on out. He was basically texting a real-time account of the march to his FBI handler. So more and more, it looks like that whole January 6th protest was a staged false flag operation to tarnish Trump, to tarnish Trump supporters, to scream white supremacists, and so forth and so on. Down in Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp has issued a memo confirming a citizens group's findings in the Fulton County recount, basically saying that they have found so many problems with this recount that it's essentially worthless. And so that outcome of that Kemp County election is still very much up in the air. And, you know, they stole the election. The Democrats were stealing elections all across the country here. All right. Jen Psaki is out there saying that the smash and grab thieves are doing what they're doing because of COVID-19. That's a bit of a reach, and I can understand why Jen Psaki may be considering resigning. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. We can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you. Back to our show here. We're going to talk about COVID-19. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there, and I want to start off by mentioning that this morning, Claire, as part of her Claire's Corner podcast, interviewed Santa Claus. And Santa Claus says that there is no truth to the rumor that the naughty and nice list is being turned into the vaxxed and unvaxxed list. So that was definitely some fake news out there. On a more serious note, documents are coming out of Pfizer in response to this court order regarding this Freedom of Information Act. It's becoming very obvious why they wanted to keep this information hidden for 55 years. In this first batch of Pfizer vaccination documents, it shows over 42,000 adverse reaction reports. And Pfizer apparently knew their vaccine was killing people in early 2021. Apparently, the vaccines are killing three times as many women as men. Nobody really sure is why that is going on. Of the new cases of the Omicron variant identified in the United States, everybody where the vaccination status is known was fully vaccinated. And that is very significant. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci and Obama visited an elementary school to basically propagandize the kids to go get their vaccines. The children were in an age group that is responsible for 0.00012% of all COVID deaths. And in all probability, they're at greater risk from the shot than they are from the virus itself. Meanwhile, over at Station Gossip, they're asking a very reasonable question. If the COVID Omicron variant is as mild as is being reported by its discoverers, then just let it run its course, and vulnerable people can be protected with therapeutics. Of course, from the pharmaceutical company's point of view, there's much more money in shoving vaccines at us every 3 months or so. There is a new study and a warning coming out from the American Heart Association. And the warning is that the mRNA vaccines dramatically increase the risk of developing heart diseases. So in response to that, Twitter slapped an unsafe link warning on this story from the American Heart Association. And that means Twitter is out there saying you shouldn't pay attention to this, and then you have to click an extra link, an extra button to get past that warning and read the actual article. They don't want you knowing this stuff is out there. Up in Canada, there was a report released last week by the Public Health Ontario, and it's basically counting up the number of people in the province who have had to go to the hospital with heart inflammation following the mRNA vaccination. And it is definitely skewing towards younger people. More than 100 kids from Ontario had to go to the hospital for these vaccine-related heart problems. And that is really, I mean, they're killing off the next generation here. We have been hearing a lot about athletes in the prime condition, very healthy people, and they're just dropping like flies, on the sports field. And so far, at least 69 athletes collapsed in just 1 month. Many of them died. There's another story. This one involves an equestrian who just 2 days after getting her Pfizer vaccine, had to be rushed to the hospital. She was diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, which has compromised her brain and nerve functions. Stephanie is no longer able to feel her legs below the knees and is unable to walk without using braces and walker. She has also been diagnosed with pericarditis in her heart, and she's still in the hospital going through physical therapy to learn how to walk again. But as far as her equestrian career is concerned, that is definitely in the past. Over in South Korea, they are 80% vaccinated, and they are breaking records of death and infections. There is a clear pattern all over the globe. The more vaccinated a region is, the more of these cases are happening. Peter Schirmacher, one of the world's leading pathologists, has warned that anywhere between 30 and 40% of all deaths from the COVID-19 shots occur within the first 2 weeks after injection. Now, for those of you who got your vaccinations and it's been more than 2 weeks, you can take a little sigh of relief. Doesn't mean that you are out of the woods, and of course the long-term effects of these gene therapies are still unknown. You know, they're doing the long-term safety study on us. Another story that's very alarming, this is from Vaccine Impact. And, oh, my goodness, got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man wags his head while the rich man.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19. And there is the situation where there is a sudden surge of children under the age of 12 in their deaths. They're just dropping dead. And this has happened since the COVID-19 shots were approved for that age group. And, you know, little kids just don't drop dead without a really good reason. And, parents are starting to say they made a huge mistake getting the vaccination there. Over in Scotland, they have launched an investigation into what they're seeing as a spike in newborn baby deaths. So it's happening all over the world. Over at Forbes magazine, they ran a story admitting that the mRNA gene therapies do alter your DNA. And I guess they got a phone call because they changed the headline. The original headline was, yes, the vaccine changes your DNA a tiny bit. That's a good thing. I don't think so here. They then changed the headline to say that mRNA vaccines do not alter your DNA, but they didn't change any of the article's content. I guess the assumption is people look at the headline and they skip over the rest of the article. And for a certain segment of the population, that's going to be true here. There is a study that has just been published in The Lancet, which is a highly respected medical journal. And that study seems to indicate that the vaccines actually increase vulnerability to COVID rather than protecting from it, which would certainly be the explanation for why areas with higher vaccination rates are seeing higher COVID infections. And they're looking at some of the data coming out of Israel that was involving healthcare workers and patients here. And they're starting to call the whole process vaccine enhanced infections. And, you know, this is very alarming news and obviously is an argument against mandatory vaccinations, but they're still pushing it. They really are. Over in the United Kingdom, health authorities are now advising booster shots for COVID every 3 months. This is definitely going off the rails. Here in the United States, Anthony Fauci is saying the definition of fully vaccinated is likely to change. So if you've been going shopping into the movies, into restaurants and other venues, thinking you're fully vaccinated, Fauci is just going to take that away from you. You know, like Voldemort, he'll wave his little wand and all of a sudden you're no longer fully vaccinated and you'll have to get more shots and so forth and so on. Rand Paul is clearly on the warpath against Fauci, says Fauci needs to be held accountable for all the COVID lies that are costing people their lives. And he said Fauci should go to prison for 5 years for lying under oath to Congress about the gain of function research. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And people are really getting tired of all this nonsense. Even Democrats are turning against Biden's mandate, saying enough is enough. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin has spoken out against Biden's unconstitutional vaccine mandates, saying that the draconian rule will destroy private businesses. And he's absolutely right about that. There are now over 400 studies showing that compulsory COVID interventions fail. They do not work. It's an absolute failure. And, you know, probably it was the money that started all of this cover-up and dictatorship and so forth. But I think now the medical industrial complex realizes they're vulnerable. The public is losing trust in orthodox medical treatment. You know, some of these people, you know, all this indemnification isn't really going to work against mobs with flaming torches and pitchforks and tar and feathers and so forth. They may be now more concerned with covering up their guilt on what appears to be the biggest medical mistake in history, but they'll still take the money from selling the vaccines here. Over in Austria, which has got a very strict COVID policy in place. This has prompted the European Union chief to actually say it's time to throw out the Nuremberg Code. Now, in the Nuremberg Code, there is that provision saying no government can force a medical treatment on a patient without their fully informed consent. And this is getting in the way of their vaccine mandates. And so now the EU is saying, well, let's just get rid of that Nuremberg Code here. We'll just change the law so that we can go on doing what we want to do, and to heck with the general public. You know, so a few million of you die, and you're being so picky. I mean, really here. Meanwhile, the state of Oklahoma is suing Joe Biden and the Pentagon to exempt their National Guard from the military vaccine mandate. Republican Oklahoma Attorney General John O'Connor announced the lawsuit yesterday. Maybe Oklahoma is going to do the same thing as Florida and set up their own state guard that would be immune from any kind of federal authority. Over at YouTube, misspoke there. Over at YouTube, they are tightening their censorship rules even more. And YouTube is threatening to ban any users who question the effectiveness of face masks. I mean, this is absolute theory. We know those masks don't work. There have been studies showing the masks do not work. Those masks are about as effective in preventing COVID from reaching you as a chain link fence can keep out mosquitoes. That's really how silly it is. And it's just completely out of control right now. All right, let's talk about the international news. There's a lot going on there as well. And twice in the last 2 weeks, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has made public comments that threaten to worsen the already strained relationship between Russia and the alliance. He should calm things down, instead of ratcheting up the tensions here. Now, a little bit of cooling may be happening up in Norway. Their government is now going to restrict NATO air traffic near Russia. And according to the foreign minister, Anniken Huitfeldt, it is in Norway's best interest to take care of its northernmost areas using its own armed forces to try and keep things calm here. All righty. Now, Mark Brzezinski, who is President Biden's nominee for ambassador to Poland, has pledged to deepen and broaden the partnership between the two countries. And appearing before the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Wednesday, Brzezinski said he would commit to continue and strengthen the United States security cooperation with our stalwart ally Poland, where the enduring rotational presence of some 4,500 U.S. troops defends NATO's eastern flank. And he also went on to talk about completing the cordon around Russia, uniting Ukraine, and democratizing Belarus. So it's definitely going on. And we have yet another top U.S. military official saying there's a lot of concern over Russian military activity near Ukraine. And so they're still pounding on this as hard as they can. Now, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Victoria Nuland actually came out finally making sense. Normally, we associate Victoria Nuland with coup d'etats and U.S.-backed revolutions, but she came on out and said basically the main impediment to peace in Europe and Russia is the presence of foreign troops in Ukraine, and said it might be a good idea, it might calm things down to get those troops out of there. And it may be that certain elements within the government are beginning to realize that a potentially nuclear war between the United States and Russia is not a really good idea. All righty. Let's see. Meanwhile, speaking of foreign troops and foreign weapons in Ukraine, the Biden administration is considering providing Ukraine with additional anti-tank weapons such as the Javelin, but has backed off on providing surface-to-air missiles like Stingers to not provoke Russia, which is definitely a unique incident in current events, because it almost seems like the Biden administration has been trying to provoke Russia nonstop here. Part of that, of course, was this expulsion of the Russian diplomats from the United States, and Russia responded by kicking out U.S. diplomats, and it's kind of this tit-for-tat little thing they've got going on, and it is very reckless. It's very dangerous. The only way we're going to avoid war is to keep the discussions going. Okay. Now then, interestingly enough, getting on to Iran, Israel has been rattling the sabers against Iran quite hard. And according to this article that came out of Anti-War, this may signal that some progress is being made in the Iran nuclear deal, which is something that Israel absolutely does not want. And according to this story over in antiwar.com, Israel basically told the United States point blank to immediately halt the Iran nuclear deal negotiations. And sure enough, today the U.S. ended the Vienna talks. They're trying to put the blame on Iran, saying they're not cooperating. But Israel ordered the U.S. to end the talks, and the U.S. has ended the talks with Iran. So I guess another war is on the horizon over there. Meanwhile, Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz said an attack on Iran must always remain an option for Israel, even if Israel acts alone. Well, folks, Israel will never act alone. Their ideal is to get other countries to go and fight their enemies for them, which the U.S. government keeps falling for that one over and over again. Witness Iraq, Syria, and so forth. And once again, we're getting more fear-mongering. This is coming out of Scoopy Web. Another weapons expert has come forward saying that Iran could ready a nuclear weapon for an attack in 8 weeks. Now, Israel and its chorus have been screaming that Iran was within weeks of a nuclear weapon. They've been saying that for 30 years, no bomb yet. But let me just point something out. Even if Iran acquired a nuclear weapon, what are they going to do with it? I mean, they could, you know, march it down the street as part of a military parade and say, look how butch we are. Maybe they could put it in a museum or something like that. But Iran is not going to attack either Israel or the United States with one nuclear weapon, because Israel has about 600 nuclear weapons. The United States has thousands. And if Iran were to actually use a nuclear weapon, these two countries would basically turn all of Iran into a giant glowing green glass, plate, and send in the Marines to, paint parking lines, you know, giant nation-sized parking lot here. Israel supposedly was investigating all of those horrible shootings that took place during the Gaza March of Return, and it was really ugly. They were using these special bullets that fan out on impact to maximize damage. And to nobody's surprise, Israel basically came out with a whitewash and said, everything was fine. Everything was according to the rules and, you know, no war crimes here. Meanwhile, Saudi warplanes continue to carpet bomb Yemen with U.S. support. And this article over in The Guardian is saying it is time for this to stop. And they point to the recent breaching of the U.S. embassy in Yemen's capital and the detaining of Yemeni employees of the embassy as a latest escalation in a war that has gone on really too long. Now, the conventional wisdom, or at least the propaganda coming out of the corporate media, is this is Saudi Arabia's war. But the United States is clearly paying for it and is deeply involved in it. And it's highly likely that the United States is simply using Saudi Arabia as a proxy. Meanwhile, over in the Straits of Taiwan, China pulled off a big surprise. There was a Chinese submarine that basically surfaced in that narrow waterway wanting to be seen and sending a message saying, back off or there could be unintended conflict. So writing on the Covert Shores blog Monday, submarine expert H.I. Sutton identified the vessel as a Chinese Type 94 nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarine. And the sub was cruising on the surface of the water, separating from Taiwan from mainland China. Oh, they're out there rattling the sabers there. Getting on back to Austria, where, you know, there are massive demonstrations against the vaccine and mask mandates here. The Chancellor, Alexander Schallenberg, has announced he is going to resign. He's only been in office for about 2 months. He's going to stay in office until his party chooses a new leader. And so change of government over there. All righty, here is an article. This is from Responsible Statecraft. And it's asking, when will the Pentagon account for its finances? Because ordinary people, we have a household budget. We look at our income. We look at the spending. We spend within our limits here. You would assume the same thing would be true for the Pentagon. You would be absolutely wrong. They treat money as a disposable commodity that they can always get more of from the taxpayer. Meanwhile, showing where some of that money goes, Sputnik News is reporting that vast amounts of explosives and munitions are stolen from the U.S. military. So by all means, let's give them more money. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the economic news. House and Senate managed at the very last second to pass a temporary funding bill to keep the government operating until early next year. It was on the edge of a shutdown today if they hadn't done it. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki is basically acknowledging that tax cuts for the rich may be included in Biden's nearly $2 trillion social and environmental spending bill. They were calling it Build Back Better. Now it's called something else here. And I'm sure the reason for that is obvious. The rich give the politicians more political money than the poor do. Well, the poor do via taxes, and the government doesn't owe us anything for the taxes. But the issue of tax cuts for people with incomes over $400,000 is a sticking point among Democrats and could actually impact the passage of Biden's bill in the evenly divided Senate and the narrowly divided House. So there may be repercussions from that. And certainly ordinary Americans are not going to be happy to hear that the wealthy are getting a tax break. And looking back at history, one of the things that led to the French Revolution was when the middle class found out that they were paying taxes, but the nobility was not. And that was one of the major, major triggers for that. All righty. Last month, the United States added just 210,000 jobs. That was 340,000 below the predictions. This is another dire employment report. Biden went on TV to explain how this is not a problem and we shouldn't worry about it here. Now, recently, Joe Biden announced that for the second time, he was going to tap into the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And according to this article that is coming out of Station Gossip, all of this oil is going to be going to China and India rather than be sold here at home. And so it's not going to impact our gas prices here. And the American Automobile Association is saying gas prices will not be affected after, after this move here. Now, gas prices did drop a little tiny bit, 2 cents per gallon. And the White House is trying to make a big deal about that. See, he dropped gas prices by 2 cents a gallon. You know, you don't appreciate him here. Now, there may be some good news on the horizon. OPEC has decided they're going to increase output by 400,000 barrels per day. And that's pretty significant here. And so that may drive down oil and gas prices, especially as we get into the winter here. Meanwhile, economic analysts are saying that, yes, we are in stagflation. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.